time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
You remember Harry Nilsson?
Put the lime in the coconut.
And Chad P.
P. Chad.
Who is backwards.
Underwritten by Home Theater, etc. Class is in.
Sunday afternoon and a fine afternoon to you. It's Rock School here on KSLU 90.9 on your FM dial. I'm Joe Burns. Sitting to my immediate right is
Chad P.
Chad P, who's going to be in charge of his first class at Southeastern next week, and he's a little nervous about it.
Just a little.
Just handing out an assignment, but
I'm just subbing.
You're going to get it down. You're going to get it down, and things are going to be wonderful. Chad is a former student himself and one who must learn.
In the works.
In the show that we finished up last week on the Sunset Strip, I said that this week would be devoted to a man named Hilly Crystal.
Who did I you look was him a woman.
Up? No, some people, even when I say it to them, they go, Billy Crystal? You mean the guy that does that
no,
comedian
not the
show?
Slicker.
No, Hilly Crystal.
Uh-huh.
Did you look him up? Do you see what he does? Do you
no,
see what he
I
did?
Didn't. I didn't.
CBGB's in New York City. He was the guy that started CBGB's and Omfug, and he basically just died complications of lung cancer, age 75, back in August. We would have done the show earlier, but the Sunset Strip was two shows in a row,
yeah.
So I had to actually back this thing
that
up.
That was a good series, man. It's already up in the archives, and good
and people
stuff.
Can go listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fantastic. Hilly Crystal started CBGB's, and what happens is a lot of people look at CBGB and they say, well, that's where punk started. Kind of, yeah, kind of, no. Yes, the Ramones came out of there. Yes, Patti Smyth came out of there. But there were other places in New York City that were doing street music.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't called punk at that time. It was called street music. So what I decided to do was a little tribute to Hilly Crystal, and I'm going to talk about CBGBs, and I'm going to tell you what all that means. What does CBGB mean? What does Omfug mean? But I thought to myself it would be better if I basically said, here's where punk music came from,
okay,
and do a little bit of timeline, and CBGBs will actually just be in there as
okay
part of the rundown. Okay?
CBGBs, have you ever heard anybody say, like, if they get the creeps, they're like, yeah, that gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Do you think that came from CBGBs?
No. CBGBs means country bluegrass blues.
Oh, that's
CBGBs. Yeah. Hilly Crystal specifically wanted to open a poetry and I'm doing this off the top of my head. I don't have my notes in front of me on this one. Poetry and like light acoustic guitar type stuff. And he opened up a place earlier in Bleecker Street in New York City, and it failed miserably. It was called Hilly's on the Bowery, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
He then opened up CBGBs,
okay,
specifically to do country, bluegrass, and blues. It's just that that's not the music that made its way to CBGBs. So, punk. Where did punk come from? Well, it started with the Ramones. No, not really. In fact, the Ramones weren't even called punk when they first got it started, when they first got underway. Punk, if you want to take it back as far as you can go and say, okay, here are the roots of it, it started with something called garage rock in the late 60s. Now, some garage rock you might know, like Louie Louie by the Kingsmen, the Swingin' Medallions, Double Shot of My Baby's Love. It was music that was performed with very simple instruments, very simple chord progressions.
Yeah, you hear those
a
songs.
A lot of power.
The first thing you don't think of is punk.
Right.
You
but
hear Louie Louie. Oh, yeah, that's punk. No.
Well, it's where punk got started. It's basically the music shell. It was the basic concept of how it was done. Now, we'll move out of this garage rock into something called proto-punk, into something called street music, and then into punk. But to just give you an idea of what garage rock is, real simple chord progressions, normally fast, and just kind of, it's called garage rock because it's not very polished. We'll play one out of Minnesota. You're going to love these guys. They're called the Trash Men, because you know why?
Because
everybody's heard about the bird. The bird.
Everybody's heard about the bird. The bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is a winner. Well, the bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, don't you know? I'm the bird. Well, everybody knows that the bird is a winner.
laughing bird?
I'm laughing at. Laughing at you.
Why? What was I doing?
Because if you were in the NFL,
I was doing
and you
the monkey.
Just scored a touchdown,
I was
you'd
doing
have
the monkey.
Three flags thrown on you
no.
for excessive celebration.
I was doing what the monkey. You're
enjoying that song a little too much.
Watusi-ing. Absolutely love it. That's my example of garage rock. A couple other ones, Cry Like a Baby, the Box Hops, that kind of thing. Basic 1960s late. Sometimes it's called frat rock, that kind of stuff. Yeah. By the way, the Trashmen got sued over that song.
Why?
It was... they took their favorite two R&B hits by the Rivingtons, known as The Bird's the Word and Papa Ooh Mow Mow, and put them together. And the Rivingtons basically said, don't do that. We wrote those songs. How about giving us a little bit of money? Garage rock. Now, someone's going to say, now, where did classic rock come into this? Classic rock was being done just about at the end of garage rock, going into this stuff I'm going to call, or what I read is called proto-punk. Mm-hmm. What would be first called the real origins of what we now know today as punk rock music. Mm-hmm. One of the big ones you might hear about in this proto-punk movement is a group called Blue Cheer.
Blue Cheer.
Vanilla Fudge is another one you might hear around this time. But Blue Cheer really denotes the whole thing. Heavy for the sake of being heavy.
Okay.
Drugs, street music. Blue Cheer is known for taking already established songs that were kind of cutesy and poppy and turning them into real thick and heavy. The one we're going to play for you now is called Summertime Blues.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Well, this is Blue Cheer version. It's a little less poppy, a little less cutesy, and pretty gosh darn heavy.
But they
and...
got permission before they did it that they weren't in a lawsuit like the Trashmen.
Oh, sure. Ah. So if you're going to talk punk with anybody and you want to talk proto-punk, pull up Blue Cheer. Here's Summertime Blues on Rock School.
Raise a fuss, Lord, I got to raise a holler. A bottle working on summer just to try to earn a dollar. But Lord, I tried to call my baby, I tried to get a date.
Yeah. Ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Wow.
I love that. That's Blue Cheer. Proto-punk. Proto-punk, proto-punk, proto-punk.
You're now, right. Noise just for the sake of noise.
It really is. Now, proto-punk was a term that was laid across that song after the word punk was used. Now, you would think, when's the first time the term punk rock is actually used? Well, it's got to be the Ramones, or it's got to be Blondie, or it's got to be the Talking Heads. No, it was Question Mark and the Mysterians. Ever heard of them?
No.
Nope.
Why it's a question mark.
There was a 1970s into 1980s magazine that was heavy on rock and roll called Cream. Do you remember it?
I know Cream.
Cream magazine. There's a guy named Dave Marsh that wrote for them who described the sound and the attitude of the group Question Mark and the Mysterians as punk rock.
Punk
That's
rock.
The first time in 1970 that the term punk rock actually was put into print. The group, Question Mark and the Mysterians, are led by this guy named Rudy Martinez. He calls himself Question Mark because, you see, Rudy isn't of this earth. By the way, this is the third time I've said this about a rock star. One was a guy from Kiss. The other one was the guy from... Steppenwolf, and now I got a third guy. Rudy Martinez, otherwise known as Question Mark, thinks he's from Mars, he lived with the dinosaurs. He never appears in public without sunglasses because the sun, which wasn't around when he was first created, hurts his eyes.
Is he from K-Pax?
Well, no, he's from Mars. He's a Martian.
You just said that,
Listen, it's from Mars. God. He also claims that voices have told him he will be performing the song 96 Tears in the year 10,000. I'm sure we'll all be doing something in the year 10,000. Yep. I'll be worried about the year 2525. This is 96 Tears, Question Mark and the Mysterians. The first time that the term punk rock appeared in print right here on Rock School.
Too many teardrops for one heart to be crying. Too many teardrops for one heart to carry on. You're way on top now.
and the Mysterians, 96 Tears. They actually had to change the title of it because they took the two numbers of 96 and flipped them around. That was the original name of the song, and somebody said, you know, probably not the best thing for you to do. Now, we are two CBGBs where supposedly the concept of punk rock began. And I'm willing to say, yeah, punk rock began there, but see, the terms weren't used at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Hilly Kristal, who the show is devoted to, he just died not too long ago, August 28th, 2007, complications of lung cancer. He opened up CBGBs in order to play country, bluegrass, and blues. He also called it OMFUG. Have you seen t-shirts that say that, CBGBs and OMFUG?
No, I haven't.
OMFUG stands for Other Music for Uplifting Gourmandizers. Now, a gourmandizer is somebody who basically eats a ton of food, but I think what Hilly was talking about is somebody that just eats up a ton of music. So when you go to CBG and OMFUG, you're basically looking for a place to hear new music. Where these bands used to play was a place called the Mercer Arts Center, and it died out in 1973, and there was a few other places, but there wasn't any one giant, you know, right here is where all new music should be played.
One central location.
That's right. And now there is. When CBGB's opened in 1973, they were on the Bowery at Bleecker Street in the borough of Manhattan, and I have two or three pictures of myself in front of CBGB's. All these bands came in that were playing what was at the time termed street music.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be later until the term punk rock was laid across them. We're going to start with the one that everybody can pull out of CBGB's. The Ramones.
Yeah.
And I'd like to tip the hat to Ramones. They are now the most played band on this show. This will be the third time the Ramones are actually going to be shown. This is Joey, Johnny, Dee Dee, and Marky. They're all dead except Marky. You know where Marky lives? Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, to your hometown.
Here's the Ramones. I don't want to be a pinhead no more on Rock School. Man, I love the Ramones.
See, that's why everybody associates them with punk, because that's the first thing I think of. If I hear the term punk, a tune just like that
comes right out.
Yes.
Still sounds like Blink-182, also, doesn't it? They really are just a modern-day punk band, a lot of the stuff that's in there. Now, where did the term punk come from? Well, we talked about Cream Magazine, but when these bands all started getting signed, Sire Records, S-I-R-E, was one of the big record companies that was signing them all at the time. It's the term that was started to use by the media. You see, punk has this sort of nasty connotation to it, this thing that they're really nasty people, and later on, we're going to talk about the Sex Pistols, and it was the Sex Pistols that really put the, you know, the nasty into punk. The Ramones are not nasty guys.
Right.
I mean, look at their history. They're not, you know, they may have had a scowl on their face, but they weren't, you know, doing terrible things to people.
Right.
A group called Television also came out of CBGB's, and other groups came out of there. And punk was at its inception not this nasty thing. In fact, it was an all-inclusive place. It was, CBGB's was a place to go, you know, to be with other people who were artists and such. And it wasn't until the Sex Pistols came out that punk started, in terms of music.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, the word punk has always meant, you know, nasty.
Yeah.
But in terms of music, it wasn't until the Sex Pistols came out that it really started getting this nastier connotation to it. And you're going to find that in the United States, the Sex Pistols had such a nasty connotation upon punk that Sire Records decided to start renaming punk in the area, in the United States, and they called it New Wave.
Okay.
So New Wave was sort of the second run of punk, and they got some prettier bands, if you will, the Blondies, the Go-Go's, yeah. that kind of thing.
Let me ask you this. While all this is taking place over here, and punk is starting to get this recognition,
yeah.
across the pond, in retrospect, is glam doing the same thing, or is this a different time?
See, that's the thing. As soon as we're going to play two more songs out of CBGB's, but as soon as we get back from the stump at the bottom of the hour and all that, we're going to start talking about a second place called Max's Kansas City mm-hmm. in New York City. And not in Kansas City, in New York City. And that was where American glam
okay.
took off.
Okay.
So let's play who is, this woman is often called Punk's Poet Laureate, and it's a good title. She was always produced by people in the Velvet Underground, and in 2007 they put her into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Ah!
Well, well deserved.
Yes.
This is Punk's Poet Laureate, Patti Smith, mm-hmm. right here on Rock School.
Try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
Thought the lyric was to that song, and I mean for the longest time I thought this was it.
What's that?
Rico, the night belongs to lover. I know the word is in the title of the song, but for the longest time I thought Patti Smith was talking to her boyfriend, Rico, yeah. the night belongs to lovers, but that's not it.
Did you learn the truth in your book, Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy?
No, I learned
misheard lyrics.
I learned it earlier, and by the way, I've revisited that book.
Yeah.
That was such a fun show, which
that
you
was.
Can, by the way, find on the website. I would love to do a secondary show of that. Hey, Half Past.
Yep.
We, if I'm not mistaken, have a phenomenal sponsor who sells home theater and et cetera, if
yeah.
I'm not mistaken. Go ahead.
All that stuff. Home theater, et cetera. Proud sponsor of 90.9 KSLU's Rock School. Located right downtown Hammond on the corner of Morris and Mooney. Take two. Across the street from Florida Parish's Bank. I'm a professional. I recover from the stupidest of mistakes.
Stupidest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Phone number 985-340-7777. I was there yesterday and ate a big bag of popcorn.
I got to tell you, I wasn't much better snort laughing right into the microphone.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't want to hear it.
All right, we get another email that's worth reading?
Yeah, man. This one's from Daniel. Says, former
Daniel,
DJ.
Daniel, my brother.
Former DJ and student of Joe Burns.
Oh, really?
Me. I love the show, and the exchanges you two do reminds me of my arguments with my brother.
Oh, good.
I must be the good-looking brother.
Uh-huh.
You two act like an old married couple at times.
I'm the man.
Which makes me love the show even more.
I'm the man.
What do you mean you're
the man? For the old married couple?
I don't find we talk like a married couple.
You're the one in the moo-moo.
But you're the one that's been whining for the last 3 weeks because you couldn't get the stump right.
Daniel, thank you for the email. I really appreciate it. And if you want to email us, by all means, we would like to hear from you. We're starting to read some of them on the air because one person said, does anybody ever email you? Yes, of course they do.
Yeah, they
so
do.
We're trying to prove it. So.
At this email address.
Go.
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Or there's a contact us link on our website, which is Rock School. Go to KSLU's homepage, KSLU.org, and look for the blackboard that says Rock School.
Okay, now the part I've been dreading. I have missed.
Dude, you were 0 for 3.
I have missed the last three stumps.
I'm on fire.
One more group that came out of CBGB's before we move over to Max's of Kansas City, and they are the Talking Heads.
Yep.
So
and
go
I
ahead, give me the
question. Did some research on them and actually found out that a favorite band of mine got their name from a Talking Heads song.
Metallica?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Everybody's like, hey, who's your favorite band? Metallica. Yeah. What English, they're English. What English rock band got their name from a Talking Heads song? Two hints.
Okay.
I'll give you two hints.
English band.
Well, that's not even a hint.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
Nope. It's on the True Stories album. I don't know if that helps, but
it does,
I can also give you their former name before they became.
Doesn't
what
matter.
They
it's
are.
Radiohead.
Ooh,
did I get it?
Look at you! He redeems himself.
I feel so much better. You should take me to the river.
I'm buying you lunch today.
They started at CBGB's. They were originally called the Artistics, and now you know them as the Talking Heads. This is probably the first time you heard them. Take me to the river. I feel so much better.
Good job.
Really
very
thank
nice.
You. Talking Heads.
Getting a little Steven Tyler-esque at the end of there.
He certainly was. No, oh, Steven Tyler's getting like him. If you get a chance, do yourself a favor. Do yourself a big favor. If you're a Netflix person or you have access to someplace that has a whole bunch of videos and get your hands on it, try to get a hold of their live movie, Stop Making Sense. It is maybe the best concert film ever put together. That's the Talking Heads on Rock School. This is a little bit of a tribute to the good man who started CBGB's, Hilly Kristal, who passed away at the end of August, two or three weeks ago, and died of lung cancer. Darn it. Started CBGB's. We are now leaving CBGB's as we discuss where punk and such came from. There was one other place in New York City that was known for punk, but it wasn't as much Ramones-style punk as it was glam punk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you probably know the lead singer of this group. The group's called the New York Dolls, and if you've ever seen them, it's four really ugly guys. Pardon me, five. No, it's four guys. Yeah, I'm looking at the names here. It's four really ugly guys who are just dressed up as glam women as they can get. I mean, the guy from Twisted Sister looks pretty good compared to a bunch of these. The lead singer is a guy named David Johansen. Does it ring a bell to you?
Yeah, it does.
What's his other name you know him by?
Buster.
Poindexter!
Buster Poindexter.
Yay! He had a big hit with Hot, Hot, Hot.
Yeah.
But before that, he was teamed up with Johnny Thunders, Rick Rivets, and the original Arthur Killer Kane. This is from Max's, Kansas City, 213 Park Avenue South, the leaders of the glam rock movement. I've got two more songs to play out of Max's, Kansas City. I'll tell you why it's called Max's, Kansas City when it's in New York City after we listen to this. New York Dolls, Fishnets and Cigarettes on Rock School.
I was sitting there all alone. I was praying you would come home. I was listening to an old blues song.
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, not good.
Fishnets, Cigarettes. There you go, New York Dolls. David Johansen out front, or otherwise Buster Poindexter.
So it's in New York City, but it's
right.
Called Kansas City.
The reason it's called Max's Kansas City is because the name was inspired and suggested by a poet named Joel Oppenheimer.
Okay.
This is basically... Max's, CBGB's was for, street music is what it was called. This was, for lower end, socioeconomic, like me. Dad sold spark plugs. I wouldn't have gone to Max's. I'd have gone to CBGB's.
I gotcha.
But if you were in the artistic community, like Andy Warhol hung out here, and a guy we might play in a little bit here, depending on how much time we got left, like early David Bowie was performed there, Ziggy Stardust, and the Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. The name actually came from a poet by the name of Max Feinstein. Joel Oppenheimer knew one of his poems where he talked about a poetic place called Kansas City.
Kansas City.
So it was Max's Kansas City.
Gotcha.
Now, this next band, the question is, are these guys punk? Or are these guys one of the beginnings of heavy metal? Because it all starts to meld together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you remember, we started the show by playing the Trash Man, Everybody's Heard About the Bird.
Right.
When I looked at that, I thought, well, that is garage rock, but it actually was kind of moving into surf rock.
Yeah.
And when you start flow charting all of this, you start to run into the whole thing. Some people believe that James Newell Alsterberg is one of the men who put together heavy metal. I don't hear it. I hear more punk out of Alsterberg than I do heavy metal.
Yeah.
The name you probably know him by is Iggy Pop.
Iggy Pop.
Now, the one story I love about Iggy Pop is, number one, he was the first to do a stage dive.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, and you can get this. This is out there. There was a concert he was doing, and I believe it was at CBGB's. Don't hold me to that. But he cut himself on stage by mistake.
Okay.
Cut himself across the chest.
On what?
I think a bottle. Don't hold me to that either. But what the cut is immaterial. It's the fact that somebody handed him a jar of peanut butter, and he began putting the peanut butter all over his chest and into the cut. And a female lead singer that night was in the audience, Belinda Carlisle.
Okay.
She started the Go-Go's because of what she saw on Iggy Pop.
Okay. Who went to this concert and decided to bring peanut butter?
What do I know? What do I know? Maybe they just had a lust for life.
Ah,
this is professional disc jockey work here, huh? Done while you wait. All of a sudden, I want to go on a cruise. How about you?
Okay.
Get out there and get on a cruise. Rock School with Iggy Pop right here, Lust for Life. Okay, let's leave Max's Kansas City. I also had a couple other people to play for you, like David Bowie and Lou Reed and such. But I want to do two more songs. Time for two more songs in the show. And I want to do something from Britain, and then I want to do something from New Wave and tell you what happened.
Okay.
British punk basically was created with the Sex Pistols.
Mm-hmm.
Sid Vicious, Johnny Rotten, and if any band is responsible for the generation gap, this is the one, the Sex Pistols here. Never mind the Bullocks, here comes the Sex Pistols was their big one, and everybody probably knows the story how Sid Vicious went into a coma, and when he woke up, his girlfriend Nancy Spungen was dead of a stab wound that happened in 1978. Ouch. Were all punks that bad? Well, no. There were other British punk bands that actually put out decent music. One woman over in Britain, basically, she was seen as sort of the Patti Smith here. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Susie Sue? She spells it S-I-O-U-X-S-I-E, Susie Sue.
Never heard of her.
Her band's called Susie and the Banshees.
Nope.
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 Susie Sue was known for wearing bondage clothing, what has now become known as... what do you call that when the people wear nothing but black makeup and black dress?
Goth?
And goth, yeah. She was kind of one of the first goth people. She also wore a swastika armband, and she just kind of looked nasty like the Sex Pistols. But the music she put out wasn't ugly. It was punkish, but easy to listen to. In fact, this is a remake of a Beatles song that she did, because a lot of punk groups basically didn't like the Beatles. They thought, phony Beatlemania. Here's Susie and the Banshees doing a Beatles tune. This is Dear Prudence, just to give you a quick idea of what kind of punk was there other than the Sex Pistols right here on Rock School. Susie Sue, Susie and the Banshees, Dear Prudence.
Doesn't sing like a goth chick.
No, she doesn't, but she had that look. She was not so much a female Sex Pistol in terms of the music, but she had that look. Now, why didn't I spend a whole lot of time over in Britain? Well, because I've actually started to put together a show that's all British punk, so I didn't want to send a whole lot of them out there. I just wanted to let you know that, again, I think I said this in the first half hour, punk here in the United States wasn't a nasty thing. It was a street music. It was a little harder, it was a little harder edged and such. Yeah. But it wasn't something where they were looking to throw punches and such, like the Sex Pistols were.
I think a lot of people have like stereotyped punk. I know myself, like if you say punk to me, the first thing I think of is a colored mohawk, a nose ring, and
it's
a
British.
And a whip and a chain.
British. That's really is. Now that came over here as well, but British. That's straight British. It was a music that was nasty for the sake of being nasty.
Yeah.
And that started to have an effect here, and the record company that was signing most of these bands, it was called Sire Records, they decided to take these punk bands, which were starting to have real mainstream success, and instead of calling them punk because it had that nasty Sex Pistols, feeling about it, they decided to call it New Wave, and they spelled it N-U Wave.
Oh.
And the big one in the New Wave is basically called Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
There was also the Go-Go's, but they weren't really punk. They put out a couple punkies to begin with, and somebody got a hold of them, and the next thing you knew, it was Vacation and Our Lips Are Sealed, and which was really interesting when you realized how many of them were on heroin and all these cutesy little bubblegum tunes.
Yeah.
And the lead guitarist can't even think straight because she's, cooked herself up a speedball before the show.
Right.
So Blondie will finish us off with the New Wave. Once again, goodbye, Hilly. Hilly Kristal died August 28th, 2007, complications of lung cancer. He started CBGB, this show on punk, the beginnings of punk all the way through New Wave, was dedicated to him.
You're my boy, Blue.
Really too bad. You're my boy, Blue. New Wave. Yes, Blondie was putting out punk before New Wave, but when New Wave came around and they cleaned it up and made her a little bit poppy, that's where all the hits started to come from.
Nice.
New Wave, Blondie. I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Chad P.
Who is our sponsor?
Home Theater, etc.
Blondie, class. Say it again. I missed it. I missed it. I talked all over you. Who's our sponsor again?
Home Theater, etc.
Blondie, New Wave, Rock School, class is dismissed.